At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. It's time for your TNA Impact post show. I am at Joel Pearl. We're back. We took last week off. I'm sorry, TNA faithful. We had other things to accomplish. It was the 4th of July for our American friends, but for me, the Canadian, it was also WWE Money in the Bank weekend. I was covering it for the website. So Thursday night, I treated myself. Well, WWE invited me and Jeremy Lambert to the Sami Zayn comedy show. So we took advantage of that. Hey, it was a very good show. But Cresta Starr is here as she always is, and we are back to talk about TNA on the road to Slammiversary. Let's talk about it. Cresta, how you doing?
I am doing well. While I did not have as a fantastic week as you did, I had creme brulee for the first time, and it was amazing.
I didn't say my week was fantastic.
I mean, you got to see Sami Zayn do yucks.
That was a week ago. It's been 7 full ass days since
All right. You know what? Take the compliment, Joe.
Fine, I'll take the compliment. And if you want to take the compliment, go ahead, leave a thumbs up on the video. That compliments us. And of course, you can subscribe to youtube.com/Fightful or our sister channel, Fightful Overbooked. Myself, Jeremy Lambert, get in the weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern. Tomorrow, I don't know who the guest is, but we're going to talk about a lot of stuff. Maybe we'll even touch on some TNA talk. How about that? And of course, you can leave a super chat any amount, get your question or statement read on the air. We'll read the first one in just a second because I got comments on that one. And you can do a humper chat, Cresta, tell them the kids.
You use your fingers or your thumbs or your nubs and go to humperchats.com. That's HUMPERCHATS. You put your dollar amount. We get to keep a little bit more of that dollar amount. You put your comment in there. We'll read it live on air, Joel. We'll make sure that it gets read and everyone's happy. And we'd love to talk to you. So that's humperchats.com. Do it right now or Joel Pearl will send you a fish head.
I would more likely send him a VHS tape. As our bad Apple Jam Treebeard sends a super chat asking if I have any more VHS tapes. So here's the funny thing. Those who don't know, that is a Joe Gacy reference. I may bear a little bit of a resemblance to the man who wears a pig mask right now, allegedly, on WWE programming. That being said, I actually do have a lot of WWF VHS tapes and WCW VHS tapes and ECW ones. They're in my kids' room. They are in a big bin that I mistakenly found that I thought I had gotten rid of, but it turns out I never got rid of them and they are sitting in that bin and I would like to sort through them and figure out what to do with them. I don't know.
Take trading, bro.
I want to. Here's the thing. Some of them are official releases and there's also DVDs in there. It's not just VHS, but there are some DVDs in there. Some are official and some are recordings of recordings. So there's certain paper and also like the network kind of lost value on these tapes because you can watch them anytime, but now that's on Peacock you don't get all the pay-per-views, like they're not as easily available. So I don't know, we'll see. I just had people saying a little. Yeah, listen, I look like Joe Gacy, I get it,
leave him alone. I've heard Joe Gacy, I've heard Scott D'Amore. Leave him alone. I'll fight y'all, okay? He likes his mashed potatoes mashed. Don't talk about Joel Pearl, okay?
And mashed potatoes yesterday.
Was it mashed? Anyway,
they were mashed. There were potatoes today in my dinner too. They were the round ones, the little papas, you know.
Oh yeah. It's good for you. It's gluten or whatever they're made out of.
Yeah, some good old Portuguese style chicken with some roasted radishes and some cauliflower, some carrots, and some rice.
That was a well rounded dinner. I had beef ribs and macaroni and cheese because I couldn't be asked to make a vegetable.
Once in a while, I got to make it right. I can't always. I make a lot of like burrito-esque bowls because you have a toddler. Toddlers like things served to them in bowls. That's what I've discovered.
Or as airplanes. I won't eat broccoli, but I'll eat this whole airplane, Dad.
Thank God he's his own eater. Anyway, speaking of which, go get your free Slurpee. You got an hour left in your day. 7-Eleven day. Oh man, of course, fivesleg.com. If you haven't subscribed to that yet, we'll talk about it later. Big update on Jamie Hayter over there. People getting some information and also getting weird because they, I don't know, people working themselves in the shoots, brother. But let's brother ourselves into Impact. Tonight's episode, I said it earlier, largely inoffensive. It's a good thing. We're getting into Slammiversary. We got one more episode left until the show, don't we? Oh my goodness.
One more show.
You know, so I'm doing next week's show, and then I get on a train the next morning and I go to Montreal because I will be in Montreal from the 19th until the, I'll be there until Monday. I'm going to be doing some interviews, doing some content. So if you happen to be someone who is listening in the TNA world right now, send me a DM. Let's chat. How about that? Okay. How about we do some of that? That being said, let's get into the show itself. We found out that Frankie Kazarian took out Nick Nemeth last week to end the show, not Dirty Dango, aka JDC. And then Ryan Nemeth caught it on tape, but he's holding up his phone, and then Nick Nemeth beats up Kazarian, but there are cameras there. And that was the one kind of disconnecting moment for me in this whole thing. It's like, the cameras are there, but we're supposed to ignore the cameras. But meanwhile, there was the iPhone camera, but there's only one shot of the iPhone camera. And then they show you the beatdown. I can usually suspend my disbelief. This was one time, Cresta, where I'm just like, nothing's right in this segment. Nothing looks or feels correct. Did you get that feeling, or were you just kind of like, start the effing show?
I did get that feeling. However, I'm really good at suspending my disbelief. I choose to think of other things that remind me of things. When Daniel said it wasn't me, I immediately thought of WandaVision, and it was Agatha all along, because here comes Kazarian, like, now the camera thing, I was like, so who, what camera are you looking at? And then I was like, you know what this is? Okay, not verbatim, but the camera angle. So please don't get weird and clip this out of context. But remember to Catch a Predator, where they had those secret cameras where they would be talking to people, and then out of nowhere you see the camera running up on them. That's what I was thinking, like, yo, they got you on all angles, lying and beating people up.
And if that moment, if they had shown that, you know, production, like a bunch of cameras kind of zoom in, it starts with the iPhone camera. Like I can't do it because mine's charging, but like it starts with Ryan Nemeth running up to Kazarian and just being like, I got you. And I also brought friends, and it's like three camera ops just being like, that would have been okay. But because they did one shot with the iPhone and it looked grainy and gross, they couldn't continue with that. It just felt very not fully formed.
Okay. But also, Hear me out. If you think about how that shot is shot in continuation, it is literally them leaving. So there would have been production cameras there. So Frankie Kazarian would have saw them because they had just did a shot with the system leaving. So it wouldn't make sense for the cameras to be there, but you wouldn't have seen Ryan Nemeth because he was behind the van with a camera like a creep. So when you saw him, which I guess it doesn't make any sense that he would have the camera, something don't make sense. But I'm saying, like, if you squint your eyes and turn your head to the side and do some Steiner math and carry the one, and you see that all men aren't created equal, it makes sense.
Yeah, given what you just said, it made no sense.
All right, well.
Anyway, the show opens up in the arena. It's the Knockouts title, open challenge. Jordynne Grace defeats NXT's Izzy Dame. It is what it is, Cresta Starr. That's Izzy Dame's non-official catch line.
I became a fan of this young lady because bless your heart for trying to hit Jordynne Grace with the whole I'm up here, and Jordynne was like, knock that off. You tried to outpower Jordynne Grace, and she was like, knock that off. And Izzy Dane was selling. She was trying. I became a fan of this girl. I gotta say, her getting the only offense in was you running Jordynne Grace into the turnbuckles. Bless your heart, Izzy Dane. I would like to see more of her. I think she's got a bright future ahead of her. But once the crowd saw this chanting, Jordan's gonna kill you, I'm like, you lucky she ain't put you in that muscle buster. And speaking of which, shout out to the both of them, because it looks like there was a code red that was supposed to happen, but didn't. But it transitioned. I feel like they turned an oopsie into a daisy, if you will. They transitioned to a grounded pound, and it kind of looked like, okay, if I mess up, I'm still going to beat you up. I kind of lived for this match. I'm a fan of Izzy Dane. And what y'all doing down in NXT? I don't want to watch wrestling all 7 days a week, but I might have to take a look at NXT on Tuesdays.
It's becoming a more cohesive show than it was even a year ago. The TNA influence is starting to, not the TNA influence, but the crossover stuff is starting to happen. I mentioned on Tuesday with everything going on with Joe Hendry, and then, of course, the Rascals showed up, Trey Miguel and Zachary Wentz showed up on Tuesday. I kind of said, like, this is the best time to be the guy covering TNA and knowing what's happening while I watch NXT, because more likely it's the other way around. People are watching NXT. They don't watch TNA. They are like, who are these people? What's the deal? It's nice to be in on it. It's nice to know the story. Jordan Grace also tweeted out, God knew height would make me too powerful.
I mean, come on now.
But also, Izzy Dane is a tall, she's a tall woman. I think she's a volleyball player. So for her, she has a volleyball background. She's one of the taller women on that WWE NXT roster. So for her to come out having a very good showing against Jordan Grace, she's still new to this. She was part of the breakout tournament this year, and that was great. Now it's time for Izzy Dame to start finding her footing, because they brought her in and they tried to make her a secondary member to, I think it was Fallon Henley, maybe not. No, it's to someone else that just completely blanked on who it was. That being said, they're giving Izzy Dame her own kind of character, her own style. And I think this was a good little moment for her that hopefully gets her more reps, gets her a title, you know, a title match in TNA, working with someone like Jordan. It was a good way. Commentary saying that the scheduled match at Slammiversary was Jordan versus Ash by Elegance had me thinking for a second. And then I realized, nah, they're just adding credence to the open challenge. Challenger maybe winning the title. And I was like, all right. Iceman, the personal concierge, comes out, runs down the crowd, and then says that Ash by Elegance, I'm not going to do the line too long, is going to join by Satellite, which is a picture in picture for 30 seconds split of Ash enjoying a drink on the beach in the quote unquote Bahamas, Australia. And then you had Rosemary for some reason chasing off Iceman with the shiv, without the shiv, no shiv. But Grace makes relatively quick work of Izzy Dane in a good match. It's fine, solid.
It's a good match. I just don't know what we're doing with this whole Ash by Elegance. Because honestly, at this point, I want to see George Iceman versus Jordan Grace.
You might. Listen, I don't know if I said this here, or maybe I said this on In the Weeds. I wouldn't be surprised if they do Jordan versus Ash. Jordan makes quick work of Ash by Elegance. And one of two things happens. One, Jordan says, forget it. Give me someone else. Give me someone I can actually fight. And someone appears Forbidden Door style or Prohibited Portal style. Could be someone like Natalya, because we haven't seen her in a while. And, you know, as Sean's been saying, he's feeling, nothing is confirmed and nothing is official, feeling like Natty is coming back to WWE or will resign, has resigned. We don't know. Nothing's official. This will be a moment to bring her back. That's a shocking moment. Those two, Jordan Grace, Natty, they wanted to work together. That's great. I'd love to see that moment. And of course, you know, selfishly being there live, that would be great. And of course, Natty, Montreal, it's a heart in Montreal. Could be fun. And the other option is you have Jordan Grace win, call someone else out. And if there's a match earlier in the night that may be, another Ultimate X match for the knockouts, could be the winner of the Ultimate X match. But I don't know what's happening, because that women's division is starting to show its flavor as well.
It could be a debuting somebody. I'm not upset at an NXT person, or even an Natalya, because they were putting on overall commentary. They were mentioning Natalya quite a bit on commentary. So I wouldn't be mad at that. I don't know. I wouldn't be mad at that. I feel like if we do someone from NXT, I think now it's time to bring in like a Sol Ruka or Eve, not so much Roxanne Perez yet, because we already just did that, but like start bringing in your mid-level talent. I also want to say kudos to WWE and TNA for not just beating the crap out of TNA like AEW did. I like AEW, but that's what y'all did. And I like how this is working so far. And so far, I got my evil eye on you, WWE. But I like that the people from WWE are getting reps in TNA and vice versa. I think it's great for both brands, for both exposure, and also for wrestlers to wrestle a different style. Young Lions, come on now.
There's a lot, and we've talked about the positives of this exchange. Mm-hmm. We've also talked about the questionable motives of it, and that's okay too right now. Because it's starting to kick up more and more things are happening, I'm willing to give more credence to different matches, different bookings, things like that. I wouldn't hate that. But overall, I genuinely do agree with you. This has been a stronger partnership than the TNA and AEW one. There is brand exposure for TNA in this. And then NXT gets another thing that people are half talking about, but half not. And they're getting a good look at some of TNA's. Just had to clear my throat. They are getting a good look at some of TNA's top talent, and they're bringing them in, and they're bringing them under their umbrella, and they're giving them reps in the WWE style.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And some of these people have contracts coming due sooner than later, and some of them do not, but they're still earmarked for a transition to WWE if they so choose. So there's, again, it's a scouting report, but it's also being on TV and doing something fresh and different. There's a lot of good that comes from this. It's just all about how they tell the story. And right now they're telling a good story.
Yeah, I agree.
Could this turn into a Worlds Collide event? You know what? Despite the fact that they announced Turning Point is going to be at WrestleCade this year for TNA, I could see, because we don't know where Survivor Series is yet, I could see that weekend being a Worlds Collide show, because I don't know if we talked about it here or on In the Weeds. That time of year, around that time of year, is when NXT and TNA specifically start kind of winding up for the year, and nothing means as much until the beginning of the year.
I could see that. I could see a War Games. A War Games would be real cute.
I would just do a Worlds Collide. Just inter-promotional matches, five of them on the card, and do a big mixed tag finish. No War Games. War Games would be for main roster. They don't need to do War Games, because nothing necessitates doing a War Games between NXT and TNA. There hasn't been a
reason. The NXT people do an Ultimate X match.
That would be hilarious.
I think some people would. Wesley is free because he you were in TNA. You already know how this works. But I would be interested to see a Jakara Jackson or a Lashley. Hell, even a Obafemi and Ultimate X match for the memes.
Obafemi, Jake something. That's the only match.
Me.
I know you've been asking for it for a long time, but this will be the company that you haven't asked doing it for you. The idea, by the way, the one, if you're going to do one championship going into the hands of NXT, it's got to be the Knockouts Tag Team Championships. And you know who wins it? Choo Pax. Wendy Choo and Tatum Paxley. We saw Tatum Paxley at Against All Odds Challenge for the Knockouts title. You saw her aesthetic. Wendy Choo is someone, if you haven't seen her yet, her and Tatum have struck up a bit of a friendship. And it rivals the one that Rosemary and Havoc had. And I would love to see Choo Pax get together and have themselves a Knockouts tag team title run.
I wouldn't hate that. I don't know the state of NXT's women's tag division, but I do know the state of TNA's tag division. Knockouts tag division. So I would go ahead and bet my money on that. That wouldn't be bad. And it would also invigorate TNA's tag division. That's just me.
It's the right group of people. We'll see where it plays out. We go backstage to Santino Marella, who's got an announcement of the wild card tag team match. It's Josh Alessandro and Joe Henry versus Steve McClain and Moose. For those who don't speak Santino Marella, that's Josh Alexander, Joe Hendry, Steve Macklin, and Moose. For some reason, Moose's name doesn't get rambled, but everyone else's does.
I mean, it's Moose. How can you realistically mess up Moose in a way that people are going to believe without you forcing it?
Calls him Steve McClain.
I tried.
NXT's Charlie Dempsey, the captain of No Quarter Catch Crew, takes on Zachary Wentz, beats him up real good. They recap the Rascals reunion on NXT. I had a tear in my eye when it happened. It was so nice. And then, of course, the match itself is fine. This match was taped before the Rascals reunion. They did a pretty good job of getting that story to make sense, because like we talked about here, if they were going to do a Wesley reunion with those other two Rascals, they're going to have to babyface Wentz and Miguel, and they did. And then for some reason, the crowd was already babyface because Charlie Dempsey's the outsider. They did. It was a good job. Like they found a way to make it work. Dempsey has a gnarly gut wrench. He he just grabs and lifts Zachary Wentz, works the arm all throughout. Trey Miguel is selling really well on the outside. Just the forlorn feeling and the looks on his faces. It's good stuff. Miles Bourne comes out, attacks Trey Miguel at ringside, allows Dempsey to pin Wentz after a bridging German suplex. Simple, straightforward. And then afterwards, Bourne and Dempsey beat down Wentz. We'll do the backstage stuff. Dempsey's been studying the Rascals, he says. Tavian Heights shows up. He's the third man in that No Quarter Catch crew. And then, of course, Santino shows up again, makes a match for next week. The Rascals, who will be without Wesley, they tease there will be a third man, but it's not Wesley. Telling you that now because, once again, pre-recorded show, they will be teaming up to take on No Quarter Catch crew. Talk to me about the match. Talk to me about this whole dang thing.
Y'all try not to cook me too much, but I'm going to try to make an expert analysis here. I really enjoy Charlie Dempsey, and I've been getting recently into British style wrestling, and that's, I mean, he's one step away from bare knuckle boxing. Charlie Dempsey was out here really working.
Do you know who Charlie Dempsey is?
I feel like he's related to somebody. I feel like he's the son of War Games. Am I wrong? Okay, yeah.
You are right. He is William Regal's son. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm like, this guy reminds me of like just straight British wrestling, like bar for bar. Like, the gut wrenches were nasty. I mean, I respect Wentz for trying to go speed and put this man like chip away, but that was not happening. That's a good wrestler. That's a man, a man's man.
Well, you got the reference. I got to give you points for that one.
Listen, I sometimes on occasion do enjoy a mild amount of professional wrestling.
It's true. An older professional wrestling does she enjoy.
Just a smidgen.
She's a real man's man.
I'm a traveling man.
Oh, okay. She was born a rambling man, too.
And my papa was a Rolling Stone. Yo, next match. Don't encourage me.
Phil Collins did a version of that song that was really good. Anyway, the system is backstage. They say next week the Hardys are back in TNA. I guess that tag team title match is next week. They want to add the Hardys to the list of teams they've beaten and careers they've ended. And then Moose says he's impressed that Dirty Dango, JDC, is pulling his weight lately. And he talks trash about Alexander and Hendry and tells Macklin to stay out of his way tonight. And that's going to be the reason the system wins. Good segment. Nothing to add unless you do.
Now you said it all.
Wonderful. X Division number one contendership match three-way because apparently Speedball just can't catch a break. Instead, he has to defeat Jonathan Gresham and Kushida. Good match. Solid stuff. I think really the post-match is what you got to talk about. But ultimately, Speedball wins with the ultimate weapon. What do you think of the match? There was some really good stuff here.
Honestly, this match was literally part Speedball. Guys, can we fight each other? And Gresham and Kushida, like, I hate this guy. I respect it. That's what I expected to happen. It was a good match. And like you said, it's really about the post-match. I want to know what's going on with Gresham here. I like this, but I also simultaneously don't like this. I kind of want it to mean something. You know what I mean? If you're going to do it, I'm here for it, but let it mean something. And I don't mind him losing here to Speedball because there were two storylines at play. The match itself was fine, but I just... Also, can we talk about the hand spit, the blood on the nose into the hand spit into the, nah, I'm going to hit you with the green mist. That was 4D chess. I got to give Kushida props for that. Because who thought, I'm going to stop you from hitting me with the mist with your own mist. That was 4D chess.
So are you familiar with the idea of the quote unquote Asian mist in professional wrestling?
We were literally just talking about
the different mist colors bear different they're different properties, so they affect you differently if you're hit with them. So familiar is just to familiarize with these. Kushida hit him with the green mist is commonly used to obstruct vision.
Yes,
that's what happened tonight. Are you familiar with the purple mist?
No, because everything I thought the green mist was poison.
No. So let's go through this. This is now a history lesson for everyone listening. All three of you. Purple mist causes momentary distraction and memory loss. Roxy Laveau used to use that, speaking of TNA.
No wonder I'm so dumb. It makes sense.
The yellow mist paralyzes the opponent.
There's yellow mist?
There's blue mist. sends the opponent to sleep.
I didn't know it did that. That's funny, though.
I need more blue mist in my life. Black mist is said to blind the opponent for several weeks. The excuse for this one is the time Tajiri used it on Nydia in WWE around the 2000s.
I feel like Aleister Black used it at one point in the Fed.
He did. No, he used it all over. It everywhere.
And people were blinded for several days at a time.
Then the red mist. The red mist is pretty straightforward. It burns the eyes. Gangrel would use it, call it the blood mist. But otherwise, if it was red, it was burning like acid.
You know, I think they all feel like acid. No matter what mist you get sprayed with, I would see everyone going... So,
that's the whole point.
Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about Incogni.com/Fightful Wrestling. There are some strange people out there, some shady people out there, and a lot of times you struggle with your own data privacy. I've had those struggles myself in the past, and it is unfortunately way too easy to look someone up and get their personal info. Sometimes you sign up for a loyalty card or a membership online, and the next thing you know, you've got a bunch of emails, a bunch of calls, because somebody has sold your data. For example, Incogni found over 200 brokers with my information. Those brokers are required to remove your name if you ask them. And you might say, man, I don't have the time to do that. Incogni.com/Fightful does. And they'll make sure it happens. Not only that, I had people signing me up for physical and digital spam emails. Incogni.com/Fightful Wrestling fixed all of that. And that's just one of the many benefits of Incogni.com/Fightful Wrestling. Criminals do not care about the rules associated with those websites, so take it into your own hands. Incogni.com/Fightful Wrestling. You just create an account, grant them the right to do the work for you, then kick back and watch them work. Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about eBay Auto. eBay Motors is the leading online platform for automotive dealers to get their inventory in front of over 7 million ready-to-buy shoppers who are buying cars and trucks on eBay Motors every 3 minutes, every single day. They make it easy to find parts for cars, trucks, SUVs, motorcycles, and more. They even offer a massive selection of new and pre-owned classics. Whether it's fixing, updating, or maintaining your existing vehicle, or finding new and used vehicles, eBay Motors is easy to navigate by vehicle type, category of items, sales, events, or the brand type of car, motorcycle, pickup, or SUV that you have. You can shop parts on the eBay Motors app, and with their eBay Guaranteed Fit, it is guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Head over to ebay.com and find what's right for your ride. That's ebay.com.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm trying to see if there's anything else about the mist. Nope, those are the important parts. There you go. There's your history lesson. Kushida does get the green mist, blinding Gresham, allowing Speedball to hit that ultimate weapon, like I said, gets the win. And then after the match, this is what really matters. Mustafa Ali and the Secret Service, they come down, they attack Speedball, and then Ali says actions have consequences. He tells Ali to... Speedball is being held back by the security, held down, and Ali gets a chair. Speedball says, hit me, hit me, hit me. Trent Seven tries to stop Ali. Ali uses the chair on him instead, locks in a sharpshooter, and then stares into Speedball as he has that sharpshooter locked in. Security guards are holding them. This was a WrestleMania 13 build, and I really, really enjoyed it. This is really building up an exciting, passion-filled match at Slammiversary for the X Division Championship. What do you think of the post-match? Because that was really what shined in this whole segment.
Ali's a scumbag. Clap, 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 clap. I mean, honestly, I've been a fan of this political shenanigans Ali has been doing. Making Speedball watch. Listen, I've been watching wrestling in modern times, not as long as some of you guys. So let me make my references. I laughed only because I'm a sadistic piece of crap. And making him watch Trent Seven to me was the equivalent of, I'm sorry, I love you. I just laughed. I'm like, that's so mean. Because y'all were really going to do it to him, but Trent trying to be a hero. Ali, you're a piece of crap. And also Ray Raw on commentary just making excuses. It didn't help. I know this was supposed to be serious. But I'm like, yo, this is, I'm sports entertained. I've been sports entertained quite a lot this week. I'm sports entertained.
Love that Ali is being that POS who keeps saying, you know, oh, here's your title shot. Whoop, gotcha. You're going to have to fight for it. Oh, you want your title shot? Whoop, gotcha. Taking it away.
Got me hooking a net.
Treating him like a toddler, and I love it. And meanwhile, Speedball keeps fighting his way into it. I like where this is going. Speedball, obviously, at home is a huge, huge promotional material used for TNA. They've been promoting that Speedball and PCO are going to be doing a lot of stuff in Montreal starting next week. They're going to be at local sports games. They're going to be doing pressers. Speedball and PCO are going to be everywhere. So you can expect them to have a big moment at Slammiversary. I'm looking forward to seeing that. But right now the build has been solid and I'm looking forward to that.
Oh yeah. And I feel like, and this is just me because I'm a fan of both these men. There could have been no build. I would watch them fight in the library, bro. Only way that match could get better for me, is if you add Jake something to Brian Danielson. That's just me. Just because I want to see meat and I want to see people get their shit kicked in. That's just me. Okay.
Wilson said a super chat saying, I know it won't happen, but let Jordan Grace face Julia or Stephanie Vacher at some point. Well, Will Chisholm, if you subscribe to Fightful Select, the best $5 in the business, you would know that Jordan Grace's contract is coming due sooner than later. And it would be surprising for her not to decide to go to WWE after this contract. The only way that it doesn't happen is if she decides to stay with TNA. I don't know if that's what Jordan's going to do, but I also don't know what the plan is. Other than Grace, Julia, Grace, Vacher, something that could happen. We'll leave it at that.
Dude, I think of Grace Ripley. I think of Grace Belair, Grace Flair. I mean, there's so many great things for Jordan Grace that literally the world is her oyster. But again, much like how I feel with Deonna Purrazzo, I'm going to feel the same way with Jordan. And same thing with Naomi. Don't take them out of TNA and then do nothing with them. Because I just want to talk. I just want you to come. Hunter, I cannot threaten Vincent anymore. So now it's you. Just come outside. I just want to talk.
Naomi was supposed to do media for Money in the Bank, but she didn't end up doing it. She got replaced by Tiffany Stratton. Kevin Owens as well was supposed to. Kevin Owens, unfortunately, his mom was ill, so he was at home. So that made sense. I don't know why Naomi didn't do it, because she was also on SmackDown that night. So she was in town on Friday. Maybe there was travel coming out because if she's in Texas. Anyway, not important. I was going to ask her about Trinity. And I was going to ask, like, about being Trinity and doing the TNA stuff. Uh-huh. I had TNA questions for Naomi, but unfortunately I didn't get to ask them because she wasn't there.
Yeah, I just get frustrated when I see people like that do so well in TNA. And then for whatever reason, it just doesn't translate to the Fed. And I know they don't. Not everyone gets to book their own matches. Not everyone has that luxury. But seeing how some people are at the top of the card, I honestly would just want to talk. If you introduce Grace and she goes on this tear and Charlotte Flair, I think I would just want to talk at that point. I have some questions and I just want you to answer them. I just want to talk.
Steph DeLander just wants to talk to PCO with her love letter on the beach, calling him sweet, saying that nobody looked out for her before. And sometimes the best things in life are in front of you the whole time. And then Steph says, I'm going home to Australia to tie up loose ends. At least she's forthcoming with where she's been, because she's on that same tour. They're gonna get married. They're going to get married and she's going to bring Matt Cardona back.
What's the loose end? It has to be Matthew Cardona. It
has to be Matt Cardona. Matt, I saw Matt Cardona at the GCW Toronto show. He did do stuff. He didn't get physical in the ring, but he did have a segment in the ring. So I'm just putting it out there. Matt Cardona is going to object to the wedding bells.
That would make sense. That would totally make sense. I don't know why I thought, like, I didn't know Matt Cardona was Australian. I was like, Cresta, you dumb bitch.
The idea of Cardona coming back and costing PCO the match at Slammiversary. That makes sense. It works. I still want my wedding. I just want my wedding.
At this point, I think he's got to pop about the cake. Matt Cardona got to pop about the cake. And Joe Hedgie got to sing the wedding song.
Like we said, if it's not going to be Cardona coming back, because I don't know what his timeline is, the only other person is Mance Warner, who is Steph DeLander's real-life boyfriend, wrestles in GCW, is GCW champion. I would love to see it, but that being said, Cardona coming back, I think that's a bigger moment.
I feel like Matt Cardona is a safer bet.
Oh, 100%. The thing with Mance is great. I would love to see the interaction, but it's not nearly as impactful, pardon the pun, because Matt Cardona is well known to TNA fans and to wrestling fans in general.
You could even do a 2-for-1. You could do Mance Warner and be like, who the hell is that guy? And then Matt Cardona still pop out the cake.
See, I would only hate that because Mance and Cardona aren't like super friends in GCW.
That's fine. Because then we can lend out Chelsea Green. And she's like, what is this malarkey?
Chelsea's busy. Chelsea's too busy.
But we're already friends. Let me put my twist my tin hat.
She's doing very full press conferences before the show starts. Digital
very
media
full press conference.
Y'all saw the video. It's fine. Digital media and international heavyweight championships on the line. I think digital media for sure. AJ Francis defeats Rhino. This was a very quick thing. The white rhino's extinct line was very funny from AJ Francis. Again, AJ Francis is just very good at this. It's good. Swan gets involved early, causes a DQ. This is a very Santino Marella heavy show. Didn't need to be. He makes it a Philly street fight. AJ Francis makes quick work of Rhino again. Low blow, roll up, no need for the table. Post-match PCO comes in, lights go on, lights go off. No need to make the man come back to life. He's alive. Francis gets beaten down, and then when he goes for the dive, he ducks the dive. Francis hits the choke slam on the ramp on PCO. There's a whole lot going on in this thing. Do you have anything to add to it?
Nope.
Then we move on. There's really nothing else. Giselle Shaw defeats Tasha Steelz. For those keeping track, Giselle Shaw is now being listed from Windsor, Ontario, no longer from Yellowknife in the Northwest Territories. She told me that she was listed from there, built from Northwest Territories because she was born there. It's good to know.
A tidbit.
Yeah, good little tidbit. I'd asked and that was it. So now she's doing Windsor. She had mentioned that the whole like story of Giselle Shaw's return is like starting from scratch and building up. So I guess now she lives in Windsor. So now it's like she's coming more into her own. It was good. It was a competitive match, these two, a former Knockouts world champion and Tasha Steelz. It was a bit more of a challenge. Good back and forth. The denouement gets the win for Shaw. It really feels like they're starting to tell the story that Shaw and others are starting to move up the ranks in the Knockouts division. What do you think of Shaw and Steelz?
This match, that both of them were working stiff AF. That being said, you said a lot of what needed to be said about this match with them working with Giselle Shaw. I like the new presentation. Also want to give kudos to Tasha Steelz. Say, I'm not waiting for the Sailor Moon girl to transform. I'm hitting you before the bell. I'm not doing that, which I honestly, I think a lot more people should do. I don't care. I'm not going to wait for you to do your whole, if I'm standing in the ring, next program, baby, next program. It was a good match. It was a good match.
Yeah, and then backstage, they go to Gia Miller. She's with Zaya Brookside. They watch the match. And then Zaya says she wants to beat up Lish Edwards for interfering in her match 2 weeks ago with Masha Slamovich. And then she puts over how much she loves love and that she's looking forward to Steph DeLander and PCO. Zaya Brookside being involved in this is like the most absurd thing because she's just like, love is great. Don't you love love? And everyone's just like, yeah, love's fine, I guess. But like those two, and she's like, it's amazing, isn't it so great? And everyone else is like, yeah, no, listen, it's great, but those two,
listen, don't judge, it's love. Love is love, baby, don't hurt me.
I don't think those are the lyrics.
I you know, if you squint your eyes and turn your head to the side, and you know,
nope, doesn't work on this one either. Doesn't work on this one. Nope, not at all. JDC defeats Chris Bay. Edwards and Myers show up mid-match. The roll out cutter from Bay is good. A little extra. I don't think he needs to do that extra rolling in, rolling out stuff. Ace Austin fights off the system. Bay takes out Edwards. Ace topples Myers. JDC takes advantage, hits the top rope, leg drop for the win. And then they beat down Ace of Base. It's very sad. feels like Ace of Base versus Myers and Edwards at this point.
I don't understand. I thought we all hated the system. So why nobody came out? I would be jumping the system every chance I could.
Well, yeah, I would too. But unfortunately, there's no one else who wants to jump them because the Hardys come back next week and the Nemeths are nowhere to be found because they're nowhere to be found.
That's a sound, astute observation.
They're just running the tag division because no one else wants to step to them. And then Seven and Speedball just got beat down. All the tag teams have been either taken out or they're just nowhere to be found.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I don't know what's happening here. I mean, I get
Rascals got taken out by No Quarter Catch Crew.
True.
I'm trying to think like all the tag teams in the back. There's everyone's busy or has.
What about the Deaners?
Who's that? The Deaners.
The Deaners.
I don't think they give a shit. Honestly, that's the other thing too. You've got Ace of Base. It's like they don't have friends. So like, why would you come out and fix things with them?
What happened to the Bullet Club that they're allegedly in?
Ace of Base?
Yeah.
They went back to their old theme. I think we pretty much just...
Hey, like, we just got Bullet Club on the gear, baby.
Dinner and Saint just showed up. We got to announce their signing, and they didn't come out. They're just like, ow, let's give that some time, shall we?
You know what? That's fair. That's fair. I'm asking too many questions.
I think we have a match on Explosion to lose.
That's crazy.
I love Sinner and Sin. I can't wait until they start making them a big thing. Yeah, it says someone in the chat saying Good Hands just don't give a shit, which is true. They are also the smartest tag team in the entire wrestling world.
Until it comes time to pick someone to align with, then they're the dumbest tag team in the wrestling world. Like,
it's fine. They got GYV a job in AEW, so it's fine. Well, it's not official. It's not official. But
listen, whatever it is, we accept those. Friends helping friends. Wash each other's hands. You know what I mean?
They're talking. I'm not reporting anything. Main event, Macklin and Moose defeat Joe Hendry and Josh Alexander. Frankie Kazarian comes out on commentary. This was a match that was all about getting Joe Hendry over in and out of the ring. You had Kazarian talking nonstop about him and sometimes about Nick Nemeth, and then Hendry getting most of the offense in. This was a standout match for Joe Hendry, who, like I said, I have seen so much of in the last 5 days that it's kind of insane. But what do you think of this match? Hendry does lose. Alexander and Hendry lose to Moose and Macklin. Kazarian interrupts Hendry going for the standing ovation on Moose. Instead, Moose gets the spear on Josh Alexander. Macklin hits the KIA. He pins Josh Alexander, gets the win. Macklin pointed out on socials now, for the time being, Macklin and Josh Alexander are 1-1 facing each other.
I got to give a special shout out to Joe Hendry and Josh Alexander. For the past 2 years that I've had the pleasure of watching this show and covering it with you, Joel, I've seen Josh Alexander always put in the main event position. Joe Hendry right next to him, like literally when I see Alexander, he's like with an Eric Young or with like a TNA vet. Joe Hendry right next to him side by side. Also, I need to give Josh Alexander his flowers. The conditioning to do 10 German suplexes, disgusting. I'm winded going up the stairs. That was amazing. And also, shout out to Steve Macklin for taking those German suplexes, not being knock silly, and still selling it like this match itself was good. Now, when we talk about the storyline to the match, it makes sense. I'm sick of Frankie Kazarian. Frankie Kazarian must have been sitting next to Nigel McGuinness or something, because he was on his job with the hate tonight. Him and Ray Wall were super hating. Talk about, oh, Hendry got a loaded boot. I'm sick of Hendry Saw. Hendry just like, y'all doing exactly what Hendry wants. And Joe Hendry, like you said, has been on a tear. So I'm very happy for this match that it happened. It was a good match. It just sucks that Josh Alexander had to take the pin. I get it. I understand right now. Hendry a little too hot. Hendry a little too hot. It's the same reason why Toni Storm for a long time. She's just too hot. Just too hot. And that's okay. That's okay. I'm excited for this four-way. I don't know if Hendry wins it. I don't know if we're there yet with him.
You know,
him.
It's a six-way, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Kazarian wasn't included, and Nemeth is Hoyt.
Yeah, that's right. And it's an elimination match, which makes it even more fun. I'm actually happier. So the pro and con to elimination, sorry for cutting you off. Mm-hmm. The pro and con to an elimination match, the idea that every competitor has to eat a pin and therefore has to lose and, quote, go back of the line is in play. That I like. I don't like that it means the match goes from being like one fall to a finish. It can end at any time. It can be 20 minutes and we're done. It's now going to be like 45 minutes because everyone's got to get pinned.
But I also feel like, how are they doing it? Is everyone starting in the match or are we doing a Royal Rumble style every 20 seconds?
No, everyone comes. Everyone's in the match. Everyone's introduced at the same time. It's not over the top. It's you're pinned.
Oh, everyone has to get pinned. I see.
If you get pinned, you're out of the match. Match continues as five way until you're down to one on one.
Understandable. Got it. Okay, I don't think it'll be that bad because I feel like, just hear me out, right? You can get someone in and out really quickly. I want to say you don't do that to Joe Hendry, but if you wanted to protect him, you get him out. They all gang up on him, get him out right away. I could see that happening even to Josh Alexander, even to a Moose. Not saying that that would be the case, but, you know, if there's ways around it where I feel like it won't be so bad, where you can do like quick elimination, long, quick. Yeah. It's essentially a three-way. You know what I'm saying? Like, essentially it becomes a three-way with like a lull in between.
Yeah, it could be that. It could be that, yeah, there's a couple of quick pinfalls and there's a couple of, long moments between that. Absolutely. I can see why it might be, it's going to be either exhausting or it's going to be action-packed. And it's going to be both at different parts.
Yeah.
Someone in the chat mentioning, you know, I wish it had been a King of the Mountain match. I do too.
And I think Joel has been campaigning for that for months at this point.
I wanted a King of the Mountain match to be just for number one contendership, and I wanted them to do Moose and Nemeth too. Let Nemeth get the title, and whoever wins King of the Mountain, they do a thing there. Could be Nemeth and Frankie Kazarian, whatever it was. But I also don't know what is going on with Nick Nemeth and how long he's sticking around with TNA, if there are plans for him to stay. I don't know. So with that in mind, I've learned that making this an elimination match does allow for that gridlock we've talked about on these shows to kind of get busted up a bit. You're taking six guys, who one of whom is the champion, so five number one contenders effectively, and you've given them the opportunity all at the same time, and if one gets pinned, they got pinned. They're out of the match. They're done. They don't get another shot so quickly. It works better than just being a six-man match, like a one fall to a finish six-way dance.
No, I'll give you that, because this is something that we both complained about as well, or critiqued rather, on this show. Like, you've got someone like Jake something who really should be at the top. Okay, he was in this match and he lost. Back of the line. You have people like Josh Alexander, Joe Hendry, Macklin, who should be at the top of the card. Even Kazarian, if he brute forced his way into it. Even Nemeth, they all deserve to be there. But this is a great way, like you said, to reset that and to the back of the line. Whether Nemeth stays or not, okay, you wouldn't be the first person. GYV was the last group I could think came in, did a whirlwind, and nothing happened, and then they was on their way. It'd be like that sometimes. If you are trying to protect Joe Hendry or keep Joe Hendry, I could see you putting the title on him, but now you got to deal with the whole system. I can understand if you want to keep Moose over and then have Joe Hendry win again, but to me, it's a fool's errand if you don't put the championship on Joe Hendry before his contract is up. That's malarkey. That's tomfoolery, shenanigans, and my flabbers will be gassed. So I don't know where we go from this, but I do like the idea. Like you said, it chops down all of that. So now someone else, like a Cody Deaner, not saying he would, but like an Eric Young, not saying he would, but now we've got space for all these other people who might be like, well, you lost already, to the back.
Yeah, it opens things up. And of course, for some people, a good showing might lend them to NXT for a title match.
True.
If you only believe. Someone also mentioning, where's the heritage and legacy of TNA? So going back to the women and what I was talking about earlier with the gridlock that's starting to form there, Queen of the Mountain match.
Period. I agree with that. Haven't or at least a Queen that. Ultimate X match. I'll take that.
We haven't seen a Queen of the Mountain match in a couple of years. You could do something with that. Another Ultimate X, we just did one at Hard to Kill back in January. You could do it again, but I don't think I want to see that more than I would want to see a Queen of the Mountain match where it's been a couple of years.
That's fair too. That is fair too. Wasn't there like, am I confusing this with WCW and tell me if I'm wrong? Wasn't there like a cage match where it was like a cage on top of a cage?
Yeah, there's a triple cage.
TNA
does Lethal Lockdown, which was the cage with the weapons inside.
We could do that. That'd be cute.
No reason to do that. Nothing's made it worth doing.
Unless I wouldn't watch it anyway. I'm not gonna lie, I wouldn't watch it anyway. That sounds bloody.
I mean, it is. That's kind of what happens anyway. All you need to get bludgeoned in wrestling is a shoe anyway with a spiked heel.
I know this is a TNA show, but when I tell you I popped so hard because Mariah and May wasted not a second.
Talking about it tomorrow on In the Weeds. Not going to give my hot
take. I'm talking about it on Saturday. I can't wait.
Krista, what else you got going on for us?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's always a pleasure to be here with you guys on Fightful every Thursday with Joel Pearl. You can find me over on Twitter at Cresta the Star, like Megan the Stallion. I have my link tree in my bio. Also on Saturdays, I am here on Fightful with Iridian and Rick. We go over all things Collision. And again, I'm here with Joel Pearl for anything TNA. So Slammiversary post show, I'll be there. Besides, I don't got much going on, you know, I'm just here hanging out and I want to hang out with you. So follow me on all forms of social media. It's Cresta Star everywhere. Like I said, besides Twitter, which is Cresta the Star, there's a link tree in my bio. Joel Pearl, where can they find you?
I'm easy to find. I'm at Joel Pearl, JOELPEARL on all forms of socials. Next week, I am in Montreal. I will be at Slammiversary and at the TNA Impact tapings in Montreal. Looking forward to seeing some friends, looking forward to bringing back some exclusives and some conversations. I'll be on the post show next week with Cresta. The TNA Slammiversary post show will be live here on youtube.com/Fightful. Steven Jensen will be here. Cresta will be here. I will be a game time decision because I am either going to have to race back to my hotel, which is 15 minute Uber away, or I will have to find a studio nearby that I can use for an hour to hang out with y'all. But we'll figure it out. Regardless, Cresta and Jensen will be there. I'm sure Sean's going to pop in because there will be some news and notes. I can guarantee that Slammiversary is shaping up to be a very big show across a couple of companies. So until then, we're going to be back next Thursday to get you excited and get you home ahead of Slammiversary. For Cresta Star, I'm Joel Pearl. Ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.